Chapter 83. Fuel Injection System Diagnosis and Service. Port Fuel Injection Pressure Regulator Diagnosis. Older port fuel injected engines use a vacuum hose connected to the fuel pressure regulator. At idle, the pressure inside the intake manifold is low, or high vacuum. Manifold vacuum is applied above the diaphragm inside the fuel pressure regulator. This reduces the pressure exerted on the diaphragm and results in a lower, about 10 psi, or 69 kilopascals, fuel pressure applied to the injectors. To test a vacuum-controlled fuel pressure regulator, follow these steps. Step 1. Connect a fuel pressure gauge to monitor the fuel pressure. If the engine does not have a Schrader valve, check service information for the exact method and tools needed to perform a pressure test of the fuel injection system. Step 2. Locate the fuel pressure regulator and disconnect the vacuum hose from the regulator. Note: if gasoline drips out of the vacuum hose when removed from the fuel pressure regulator, the regulator is defective and requires replacement. Step 3. With the engine running at idle speed, reconnect the vacuum hose to the fuel pressure regulator while watching the fuel pressure gauge. The fuel pressure should drop, about 10 psi, or 69 kilopascals, when the hose is reattached to the regulator. And Step 4. Using a hand-operated vacuum pump, apply vacuum, 20 inches mercury, to the regulator. The regulator should hold vacuum. If the vacuum drops, replace the fuel pressure regulator. See Figure 83-1. Refer to Figure 83-1. If the vacuum hose is removed from the fuel pressure regulator when the engine is running, the fuel pressure should increase. If it does not increase, then the fuel pump is not capable of supplying adequate pressure or the fuel pressure regulator is defective. If gasoline is visible in the vacuum hose, the regulator is leaking and should be replaced. Refer to Figure 83-2. Figure A, a fuel pressure graph after key on, engine off on ATBI system. Figure B, pressure drop after 10 minutes on a normal port fuel injection system. Tech tip: pressure transducer fuel pressure test using a pressure transducer and a graphing multimeter abbreviated, GMM, or digital storage oscilloscope allows the service technician to view the fuel pressure over time. See Figure 83-2A. Note that the fuel pressure dropped from 15 psi down to 6 psi on ATBI-equipped vehicle after just 1 minute. A normal pressure holding capability is shown in Figure 83-2B. When the pressure dropped only about 10% after 10 minutes on a port fuel injection system. Refer to Figure 83-3. A clogged PCV system caused the engine oil fumes to be drawn into the air cleaner assembly. This is what the technician discovered during a visual inspection. Note: some vehicles do not use a vacuum-regulated fuel pressure regulator. Many of these vehicles use a regulator located inside the fuel tank that supplies a constant fuel pressure to the fuel injectors. Diagnosing electronic fuel injection problems using visual inspection. All fuel injection systems require the proper amount of clean fuel delivered to the system at the proper pressure and the correct amount of filtered air. The following items should be carefully inspected before proceeding to more detailed tests. Check the air filter and replace as needed. Check the air induction system for obstructions. Check the conditions of all vacuum hoses. Replace any hose that is split, soft, or mushy, or brittle. And check the positive crankcase ventilation valve for proper operation or replacement as needed. See Figure 83-3. Note: the use of an incorrect PCV valve can cause a rough idle or stalling. Check all fuel injection electrical connections for corrosion or damage. Check for gasoline at the vacuum port of the fuel pressure regulator, if the vehicle is so equipped. Gasoline in the vacuum hose at the fuel pressure regulator indicates that the regulator is defective and requires replacement. If a vacuum leak occurs on an engine equipped with a mass airflow type fuel injection system, the extra air causes the following to occur. The engine operates leaner than normal because the extra air has not been measured by the MAF sensor. And the idle speed is likely lower due to the leaner than normal air fuel mixture. Refer to Figure 83-4. All fuel injectors should make the same sound with the engine running at idle speed. A lack of sound indicates a possible electrically open injector or a break in the wiring. A defective computer could also be the cause of a lack of clicking, pulsing, of the injectors. Refer to Figure 83-5. Fuel should be heard returning to the fuel tank at the fuel return line if the fuel pump and fuel pressure regulator are functioning correctly. Tech tip: Stethoscope fuel injection test. A commonly used test for injector operation is to listen to the injector using a stethoscope with the engine operating at idle speed. See Figure 83-4. All injectors should produce the same clicking sound. If any injector makes a clunking or rattling sound, it should be tested further or replaced. With the engine still running, place the end of the stethoscope probe to the return line from the fuel pressure regulator. See Figure 83-5. Fuel should be heard flowing back to the fuel tank if the fuel pump pressure is higher than the fuel regulator pressure. If no sound of fuel is heard, then either the fuel pump or the fuel pressure regulator is at fault. Tech tip: quick and easy leaking injector test. Leaking injectors may be found by disabling the ignition, unhooking all injectors, and checking exhaust for hydrocarbons, using a gas analyzer, while cranking the engine. Tech tip: no spark, no squirt. Most electronic fuel injection computer systems use the ignition primary, pickup coil or crank sensor, pulse as the trigger for when to inject, or squirt, fuel from the injectors, or nozzles. If this signal is not present, no fuel is injected. Because this pulse is also necessary to trigger the module to create a spark from the coil, it can be said that no spark could also mean no squirt. Therefore, if the cause of a no-start condition is observed to be a lack of fuel injection, do not start testing or replacing fuel system components until the ignition system is checked for proper operation. Port fuel injection system diagnosis. To determine if a port fuel injection system, including the fuel pump, injectors, and fuel pressure regulator, is operating correctly, take the following steps. Step 1. Attach a fuel pressure gauge to the Schrader valve on the fuel rail. See Figure 83-6. Step 2. Turn the ignition key on or start the engine to build up the fuel pump pressure to about 35 to 45 psi. Step 3. Wait 20 minutes and observe the fuel pressure retained in the fuel rail and note the psi reading. The fuel pressure should not drop more than 20 psi, or 140 kilopascals, in 20 minutes. If the drop is less than 20 psi in 20 minutes, everything is okay. If the drop is greater, then there is a possible problem with number 1. The check valve in the fuel pump. And number 2. Injectors, lines, or fittings. Number 3. A fuel pressure regulator. To determine which unit is defective, perform the following. Number 1. Re-energize the electric fuel pump. Number 2. Clamp the fuel supply line, and wait 10 minutes, see caution. If the pressure drop does not occur, replace the fuel pump. If the pressure drop still occurs, continue with the next step. Number 3. Repeat the pressure buildup of the electric pump and clamp the fuel return line. If the pressure drop time is now okay, replace the fuel pressure regulator. And number 4. If the pressure drop still occurs, one or more of the injectors is leaking, remove the injectors with the fuel rail and holdover paper. Replace those injectors that drip one or more drops after 10 minutes with pressurized fuel. Caution: do not clamp plastic fuel lines. Connect shutoff valves to the fuel system to shut off supply and return lines. See Figure 83-7. Refer to Figure 83-7. Shutoff valves must be used on vehicles equipped with plastic fuel lines to isolate the cause of a pressure drop in the fuel system. Testing for an injector pulse. One of the first checks that should be performed when diagnosing a no-start condition is whether the fuel injectors are being pulsed by the computer. Checking for proper pulsing of the injector is also important in diagnosing a weak or dead cylinder. An oil light is designed to electrically replace the injector in the circuit and to flash if the injector circuit is working correctly. See Figure 83-8. To use an oil light, disconnect the electrical connector at the fuel injector and plug the oil light into the injector harness connections. Crank or start the engine. The oil light should flash regularly. Note: the term oil is simply an abbreviation of the word solenoid. Injectors use a movable iron core and are, therefore, solenoids. Therefore, a oil light is a replacement for the solenoid injector. Possible oil light problems and causes include the following. Number 1. The light is off and does not flash. The problem is an open in either the power side or ground side, or both, of the injector circuit. Number 2. The oil light flashes dimly. A dim oil light indicates excessive resistance or low voltage available to the injector. Both the power and ground side must be checked. And number 3. The oil light is on and does not flash. If the oil light is on, then both a power and a ground are present. Because the light does not flash, blink, when the engine is being cranked or started, then a short-to-ground fault exists either in the computer itself or in the wiring between the injector and the computer. Caution: a NOID lamp must be used with caution. The computer may show a good NOID light operation and have low supply voltage. See Figure 83-9. Refer to Figure 83-8. Figure A: NOID lights are usually purchased as an assortment so that one is available for any type or size of injector wiring connector. Figure B: the connector is unplugged from the injector and a NOID light is plugged into the injector connector. The NOID light should flash when the engine is being cranked if the power circuit and the pulsing to ground by the computer are functioning okay. Refer to Figure 83-9. Use a DMM set to read DC volts to check the voltage drop of the positive circuit to the fuel injector. A reading of 0.5 volt or less is generally considered to be acceptable. Checking fuel injector resistance. Each port fuel injector must deliver an equal amount of fuel or the engine idles roughly or performs poorly. The electrical balance test involves measuring the injector coil. Winding resistance. For best engine operation, all injectors should have the same electrical resistance. To measure the resistance, carefully release the locking feature of the connector and remove the connector from the injector. Note: some engines require specific procedures to gain access to the injectors. Always follow the manufacturer's recommended procedures. With an ohmmeter, measure the resistance across the injector terminals. Be sure to lowest ohmmeter setting of the digital ohmmeter to read in tenths of an ohm. See Figures 83-10 and 83-11. Check service information for the resistance specification of the injectors. Measure the resistance of all of the injectors. Replace any injector that does not fall within the resistance range of the specification. The resistance of the injectors should be measured twice, once when the engine and injectors are cold and once after the engine has reached normal operating temperature. If any injector measures close to specification, make certain that the terminals of the injector are electrically sound, and perform other tests to confirm an injector problem before replacement. Refer to Figure 83-10. Connections and settings necessary to measure fuel injector resistance. Refer to Figure 83-11. To measure fuel injector resistance, a technician constructed a short wiring harness with a double banana plug that fits into the V and COM terminals of the meter and an injector connector at the other end. This setup makes checking resistance of fuel injectors quick and easy. Typical resistance values. There are two basic types of injectors that have an effect on their resistance, including: Number 1. Low resistance injectors. The features of low resistance injectors include: uses a peak and hold type firing where a high current, usually about 4 amperes, is used to open the injector, then it is held open by using a lower current, which is usually about 1 ampere. All throttle body injection injectors, and some port fuel injectors, are low resistance injectors and are fired using a peak and hold circuit by the PCM. The resistance value of a peak and hold type injector is usually 1.5 to 4.0 ohms. Number 2. Higher resistance injectors. The features of higher resistance injectors include: uses a constant low current, usually 1 ampere, to open the injector. Is called a saturated type of injector because the current flows until the magnetic field is strong enough to open the injector. Most port fuel injectors are of the saturated type. The resistance value of a saturated injector is usually 12 to 16 ohms. Refer to Figure 83-12. The fuel injectors at the end of the fuel rail or located at bends eye on the fuel rail tend to become clogged. This is because the fuel tends to slow down at these points and any dirt or varnish in the fuel tends to fall and partially clog the injector filter basket. Tech tip: check the injectors at the bends and the ends. Injectors that are most likely to become restricted due to clogging of the filter basket screen are the injectors at the ends of the rail, especially on return-less systems where dirt can accumulate. Also, the injectors that are located at the bends of the fuel rail are also subject to possible clogging due to the dirt being deposited where the fuel makes a turn in the rail. This partial clogging of the injectors are often seen in return-less type fuel injection systems where the fuel does not flow but instead dead ends in the fuel rail. See Figure 83-12. Refer to Figure 83-13. If an injector has the specified resistance, this does not mean that it is okay. This injector had the specified resistance yet it did not deliver the correct amount of fuel because it was clogged. Tech tip: equal resistance test. All fuel injectors should measure the specified resistance. However, the specification often indicates the temperature of the injectors, be it room temperature and, of course, varies according to the temperature. Rather than waiting for all of the injectors to achieve room temperature, measure the resistance and check that they are all within 0.4 ohm of each other. To determine the difference, record the resistance of each injector and then subtract the lowest resistance reading from the highest resistance reading to get the difference. If more than 0.4 ohm, then further testing is needed to verify defective injectors. See Figure 83-13. Pressure drop balance test. The pressure balance test involves using an electrical timing device to pulse the fuel injectors on for a given amount of time, usually 500 milliseconds, or half a second, and observing the drop in pressure that accompanies the pulse. If the fuel flow through each injector is equal, the drop in pressure in the system is equal. Most manufacturers recommend that the pressures be within about 1.5 psi, or 10 kilopascals, of each other for satisfactory engine performance. This test method not only tests the electrical functioning of the injector, for definite time and current pulse, but also tests for mechanical defects that could affect fuel flow amounts. The purpose of running this injector balance test is to determine which injector is restricted, inoperative, or delivering fuel differently than the other injectors. Replacing a complete set of injectors can be expensive. The basic tools needed are an accurate pressure gauge with pressure relief, an injector pulser with time control, necessary injector connection adapters, and safe receptacle for catching and disposing of any fuel released. Step 1. Attach the pressure gauge to the fuel delivery rail on the supply side. Make sure the connections are safe and leak-proof. Step 2. Attach the injector pulser to the first injector to be tested. Step 3. Turn the ignition key to the on position to prime the fuel rail. Note the static fuel pressure reading. See Figure 83-14. Step 4. Activate the pulser for the time firing pulses. Step 5. Note and record the new static rail pressure after the injector has been pulsed. Step 6. Re-energize the fuel pump and repeat this procedure for all of the engine injectors. Step 7. Compare the two pressure readings and compute the pressure drop for each injector. Compare the pressure drops of the injectors to each other. Any variation in pressure drops indicates an uneven fuel delivery rate between the injectors. For example, see chart on page 967. Refer to Figure 83-14. Connect a fuel pressure gauge to the fuel rail at the Schrader valve. Injector voltage drop tests. Another test of injectors involves pulsing the injector and measuring the voltage drop across the windings as current is flowing. A typical voltage drop tester is shown in Figure 83-15. The tester, which is recommended for use by General Motors Corporation, pulses the injector while a digital multimeter is connected to the unit, which displays the voltage drop as the current flows through the winding. Caution: do not test an injector using a pulse-type tester more than one time without starting the engine to help avoid a hydrostatic lock caused by the flow of fuel into the cylinder during the pulse test. Record the highest voltage drop observed on the meter display during the test. Repeat the voltage drop test for all of the injectors. The voltage drop across each injector should be within 0.1 volt of each other. If an injector has a higher than normal voltage drop, the injector windings have higher than normal resistance. Refer to Figure 83-15. An injector tester being used to check the voltage drop through the injector while the tester is sending current through the injectors. This test is used to check the coil inside the injector. This same tester can be used to check for equal pressure drop of each injector by pulsing the injector on for 500 milliseconds. Scope testing fuel injectors. A scope, analog or digital storage, can be connected into each injector circuit. There are three types of injector drive circuits and each type of circuit has its own characteristic pattern. See Figure 83-16 for an example of how to connect a scope to read a fuel injector waveform. Saturated switch type. In a saturated switch type injector driven circuit, voltage, usually a full 12 volts, is applied to the injector. The ground for the injector is provided by the vehicle computer. When the ground connection is completed, current flows through the injector windings. Due to the resistance and inductive reactance of the coil itself, it requires a fraction of a second, about 3 milliseconds or 0.003 seconds, for the coil to reach saturation or maximum current flow. Most saturated switch type fuel injectors have 12 to 16 ohms of resistance. This resistance, as well as the computer switching circuit, control and limit the current flow through the injector. A voltage spike occurs when the computer shuts off, opens the injector ground side circuit, the injectors. See Figure 83-17. Refer to Figure 83-16. A digital storage oscilloscope can be easily connected to an injector by carefully back probing the electrical connector. Refer to Figure 83-17. The injector on time is called the pulse width. Refer to Figure 83-18. A typical peak and hold fuel injector waveform. Most fuel injectors that measure less than 6 ohms usually display a similar waveform. Peak and hold type. A peak and hold type is typically used for TBI and some port low resistance injectors. Full battery voltage is applied to the injector and the ground side is controlled through the computer. The computer provides a high initial current flow, or about 4 amperes, to flow through the injector windings to open the injector core. Then the computer reduces the current to a lower level, or about 1 ampere. The hold current is enough to keep the injector open, yet conserves energy and reduces the heat buildup that occurs if the full current flow remains on as long as the injector is commanded on. Typical peak and hold type injector resistance ranges from 2 to 4 ohms. The scope pattern of a typical peak and hold type injector shows the initial closing of the ground circuit, then a voltage spike as the current flow is reduced. Another voltage spike occurs when the lower level current is turned off, or opened, by the computer. See Figure 83-18. Pulse width modulated type. A pulse width modulated type of injector drive circuit uses lower resistance coil injectors. Battery voltage is available at the positive terminal of the injector and the computer provides a variable duration connection to ground on the negative side of the injector. The computer can vary the time intervals that the injector is grounded for very precise fuel control. Each time the injector circuit is turned off, ground circuit opened, a small voltage spike occurs. It is normal to see multiple voltage spikes on a scope connected to a pulse width modulated type of fuel injector. Refer to Figure 83-19. A set of 6 reconditioned injectors. The 6th injector is barely visible at the far right. Frequently asked question. If 3 of 6 injectors are defective, should I also replace the other 3? This is a good question. Many service technicians recommend that the 3 good injectors be replaced along with the other 3 that tested as being defective. The reasons given by these technicians include: all 6 injectors have been operating under the same fuel, engine, and weather conditions. The labor required to replace all 6 is just about the same as replacing only the 3 defective injectors. Replacing all 6 at the same time helps ensure that all of the injectors are flowing the same amount of fuel so that the engine is operating most efficiently. With these ideas in mind, the customer should be informed and offered the choice. Complete sets of injectors, such as those in Figure 83-19, can be purchased at a reasonable cost. Idle air speed control diagnosis. On older engines equipped with fuel injection, TBI, or port injection, the idle speed is controlled by increasing or decreasing the amount of air bypassing the throttle plate. Again, an electronic stepper motor or pulse width modulated solenoid is used to maintain the correct idle speed. This control is often called the idle air control, abbreviated IAC. See Figures 83-20 through 83-22. When the engine stops, most IAC units retract outward to get ready for the next engine start. When the engine starts, the engine speed is high to provide for proper operation when the engine is cold. Then, as the engine gets warmer, the computer reduces engine idle speed gradually by reducing the number of counts or steps commanded by the IAC. When the engine is warm and restarted, the idle speed should momentarily increase, then decrease to normal idle speed. This increase and then decrease in engine speed is often called an engine flare. If the engine speed does not flare, then the IAC may not be working, it may be stuck in one position. Refer to Figure 83-20. An IAC controls idle speed by controlling the amount of air that passes around the throttle plate. More airflow results in a higher idle speed. Refer to Figure 83-21. A typical IAC. Refer to Figure 83-22. Some IAC units are purchased with the housing, as shown. Carbon buildup in these passages can cause a rough or unstable idling or stalling. Refer to Figure 83-23. When the cover is removed from the top of the engine, a mouse or some other animal nest is visible. The animal had already eaten through a couple of injector wires. At least the cause of the intermittent misfire was discovered. Case study. There is no substitute for a thorough visual inspection. An intermittent check engine light and a random misfire diagnostic trouble code P0300 was being diagnosed. A scan tool did not provide any help because all systems seemed to be functioning normally. Finally, the technician removed the engine cover and discovered a mouse nest. See Figure 83-23. The summary. The complaint, customer stated that the check engine light was on. The cause, a stored P0300 DTC was stored, indicating a random misfire had been detected, caused by an animal that had partially eaten some fuel injector wires. The correction, the mouse nest was removed and the wiring was repaired. Fuel injection service. Need for service. All engines using fuel injection do require some type of fuel system maintenance. Normal wear and tear with today's underhood temperatures and changes in gasoline quality contribute to the buildup of olefin wax, dirt, water, and many other additives. Unique to each engine is an air control design that also may contribute different levels of carbon deposits, such as oil control. Fuel injection service. Fuel injection system service should include the following operations. Number 1. Check fuel pump operating pressure and volume. The missing link here is volume. Most working technicians assume that if the pressure is correct, the volume is also okay. Hook up a fuel pressure tester to the fuel rail inlet to quickly test the fuel pressure with the engine running. At the same time, test the volume of the pump by sending fuel into the holding tank. 1 ounce per second is the usual specification, see figure 83-24. A two-line system tester is the recommended procedure to use and is attached to the fuel inlet and the return on the fuel rail. The vehicle onboard system is looped and returns fuel to the tank. Number 2. Test the fuel pressure regulator for operation and leakage. At this time, the fuel pressure regulator is tested for operational pressure and proper regulation, including leakage. This works well as the operator has total control of rail pressure with a unit control valve. Below are some points to consider. Good pressure does not mean proper volume. For example, a clogged filter may test okay on pressure but the restriction may not allow proper volume under load. See figure 83-25. It is a good idea to use the vehicle's own gasoline to service the system versus a can of shop gasoline that has been sitting around for some time. Pressure regulators do fail, and a lot more do not properly shut off fuel, causing higher than normal pump wear and shorter service life. Number 3. Flush the entire fuel rail and upper fuel injector screens, including the fuel pressure regulator. Raise the input pressure to a point above regulator setting to allow a constant flow of fuel through the inlet pressure side of the system, through the fuel rail, and out the open fuel pressure regulator. In most cases, the applied pressure is 75 to 90 psi, or 517 to 620 kilopascals, but is maintained by the presence of a regulator. At this point, cleaning chemical is added to the fuel at a 5-to-1 mixture and allowed to flow through the system for 15 to 30 minutes. See figure 83-26. Results are best on a hot engine with the fuel supply looped and the engine not running. Number 4. Decarbon the engine assembly. On most vehicles, the injector spray helps the decarboning process. On others, you may need to enhance the operation with external addition of a mixture through the PCV hose, throttle plates, or idle air controls. Number 5. Clean the throttle plate and idle air control passages. Doing this service alone on most late model engines shows a manifold vacuum increase of up to 2 inches mercury. See figure 83-27. This works well as air is drawn into IAC passages on a running engine and cleans the passages without IAC removal. Number 6. Relearn the onboard computer. Some vehicles may have been running in such a poor state of operation that the onboard computer needs to be relearned. Consult service information for the suggested relearn procedures for each particular vehicle. All of the previously listed steps may be performed using a two-line fuel injector service unit, such as carbon clean, auto care, injector test, decarbon, or motor vac. Refer to figure 83-24. Checking fuel pump volume using a hose from the outlet of the fuel pressure regulator into a calibrated container. Refer to figure 83-25. Testing fuel pump volume using a fuel pressure gauge with a bleed hose inserted into a suitable container. The engine is running during this test. Refer to figure 83-26. A typical two-line cleaning machine hookup, showing an extension hose that can be used to squirt a cleaning solution into the throttle body while the engine is running on the cleaning solution and gasoline mixture. Refer to figure 83-27. To thoroughly clean a throttle body, it is sometimes best to remove it from the vehicle check. Tech tip. Use an injector tester. The best way to check injectors is to remove them all from the engine and test them using an injector tester. A typical injector tester uses a special non-flammable test fluid that has the same viscosity as gasoline. The tester pulses the injectors, and the amount of fuel delivered, as well as the spray pattern, can be seen. Many testers are capable of varying the frequency of the pulse, as well as the duration, that helps find intermittent injector faults. See Figure 83-28. Refer to Figure 83-28. The amount each injector is able to flow is displayed in glass cylinders for each injector for a quick visual check. Refer to fuel injection chart on page 972. Warning. Before opening any part of the high pressure section of a gasoline direct injection system, the pressure must be bled off. The high pressures of this fuel system can cause injury or death. If any of the high pressure lines are removed, even temporarily, they must be replaced because the ends use a ball fitting that deforms to create the high pressure seal. Once this seal has been opened, a new ball end must be used to ensure a proper seal. See Figure 83-29. Always check service information for the exact procedures to follow for the vehicle being serviced. Refer to Figure 83-29. The line that has the yellow tag is a high pressure line, and this line must be replaced with a new part if removed, even for a few minutes, to gain access to another part. Fuel system scan tool diagnostics. Diagnosing a faulty fuel system can be a difficult task. However, it can be made easier by utilizing the information available via the serial data stream. By observing the long-term fuel trim and the short-term fuel trim, we can determine how the fuel system is performing. Short-term fuel trim and long-term fuel trim can help zero in on specific areas of trouble. Readings should be taken at idle and at 3000 RPM. See Chart 83-1. Refer to Chart 83-1. Fuel trim levels and possible causes, if not within 10%. Fuel pump relay circuit diagnosis. Step by step. Step 1. The tools needed to diagnose a circuit containing a relay include a digital multimeter, a fuse jumper wire, and an assortment of wiring terminals. Step 2. Start the diagnosis by locating the relay center. It is under the hood on this General Motors vehicle, so access is easy. Not all vehicles are this easy. Step 3. The chart under the cover for the relay center indicates the location of the relay that controls the electric fuel pump. Step 4. Locate the fuel pump relay and remove by using a puller, if necessary. Try to avoid rocking or twisting the relay to prevent causing damage to the relay terminals or the relay itself. Step 5. Terminals 85 and 86 represent the coil inside the relay. Terminal 30 is the power terminal, 87A is the normally closed contact, and 87 is the normally open contact. Step 6. The terminals are also labeled on most relays. Step 7. To help make good electrical contact with the terminals without doing any harm, select the proper size terminal from the terminal assortment. Step 8. Insert the terminals into the relay socket in 30 and 87. Step 9. To check for voltage at terminal 30, use a test light or a voltmeter. Start by connecting the alligator clip of the test light to the positive terminal of the battery. Step 10. Touch the test light to the negative terminal of the battery or a good engine ground to check the test light. Step 11. Use the test light to check for voltage at terminal 30 of the relay. The ignition may have to be in the on, or, run, position. Step 12. To check to see if the electric fuel pump can be operated from the relay contacts, use a fuse jumper wire and touch the relay contacts that correspond to terminals 30 and 87 of the relay. Step 13. Connect the leads of the meter to contacts 30 and 87 of the relay socket. The reading of 4.7 amperes is okay because the specification is 4 to 8 amperes. Step 14. Set the meter to read ohms and measure the resistance of the relay coil. The usual reading for most relays is between 60 and 100 ohms. Step 15. Measure between terminal 30 and 87A. Terminal 87A is the normally closed contact, and there should be little, if any, resistance between these two terminals, as shown. Step 16. To test the normally open contacts, connect one meter lead to terminal 30 and the other lead to terminal 87. The ohm meter should show an open circuit by displaying OL. Step 17. Connect a fuse jumper wire to supply 12 volts to terminal 86 and a ground to terminal 85 of the relay. If the relay clicks, then the relay coil is able to move the armature, or movable arm, of the relay. Step 18. After testing, be sure to reinstall the relay and the relay cover. Fuel injector cleaning. Step by step. Step 1. Start the fuel injector cleaning process by bringing the vehicle's engine up to operating temperature. Shut off the engine, remove the cap from the fuel rail test port, and install the appropriate adapter. Step 2. The vehicle's fuel pump is disabled by removing its real air fuse. In some cases, it may be necessary to disconnect the fuel pump at the tank if the real air fuse powers more than just the pump. Step 3. Turn the outlet valve of the canister to the off or closed position. Step 4. Remove the fuel injector cleaning canister's top and regulator assembly. Note that there is an O-ring seal located here that must be in place for the canister's top to seal properly. Step 5. Pour the injection system cleaning fluid into the open canister. Rubber gloves are highly recommended for this step as the fluid is toxic. Step 6. Replace the canister's top, making sure it is tight, and connect its hose to the fuel rail adapter. Be sure that the hose is routed away from exhaust manifolds and other hazards. Step 7. Hang the canister from the vehicle's hood and adjust the air pressure regulator to full or open position. Step 8. Connect shop air to the canister and adjust the air pressure regulator to the desired setting. Canister pressure can be read directly from the gauge. Step 9. Canister pressure should be adjusted to 5 psi below system fuel pressure. An alternative for return type systems is to block the fuel return line to the tank. Step 10. Open the outlet valve on the canister. Step 11. Start the vehicle's engine and let run at 1000-15,000 RPM. The engine is now running on fuel injector cleaning fluid provided by the canister. Step 12. Continue the process until the canister is empty and the engine stalls. Remove the cleaning equipment, enable the vehicle's fuel pump, and run the engine to check for leaks. Review questions. Question 1. List the ways fuel injectors can be tested. Question 2. List the steps necessary to test a fuel pressure regulator. Question 3. What is wrong if a fuel injector measures 100 ohms of resistance? Question 4. Why would fuel injectors at the bends and ends of the fuel rail tend to become clogged? Question 5. What does an injector voltage drop test indicate? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Most port fuel injected engines operate on how much fuel? Pressure? A. 3 to 5 psi, or 21 to 35 kilopascals. B. 9 to 13 psi, or 62 to 90 kilopascals. Circa 35 to 45 psi, or 240 to 310 kilopascals. D. 55 to 65 psi, or 380 to 450 kilopascals. Question 2. Fuel injectors can be tested using A. An ohmmeter. B. A stethoscope. C. A scope. D. All of the above. Question 3. Throttle body fuel injection systems use what type of injector driver? A. Peak and hold. B. Saturated switch. C. Pulse width modulated. D. Pulsed. Question 4. Port fuel injection systems generally use what type of injector driver? A. Peak and hold. B. Saturated switch. C. Pulse width modulated. D. Pulsed. Question 5. The vacuum hose from the fuel pressure regulator was removed from the regulator and gasoline dripped out of the hose. Technician A says, that is normal and that everything is okay. Technician B says, that one or more of the injectors may be defective, causing the fuel to get into the hose. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 6. The fuel pressure drops rapidly when the engine is turned off. Technician A says that one or more injectors could be leaking. Technician B says that a defective check valve in the fuel pump could be the cause. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 7. In a typical port fuel injection system, which injectors are most subject to becoming restricted? A. Any of them equally. B. The injectors at the end of the rail on a returnless system. C. The injectors at the bends in the rail. D. Either B or C. Question 8. What component pulses the fuel injector on most vehicles? A. Electronic control unit, or computer. B. Ignition module. C. Crankshaft sensor. D. Both B and C. Question 9. Fuel injection service is being discussed. Technician A says that the throttle plates should be cleaned. Technician B says that the fuel rail should be cleaned. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 10. A fuel line with a yellow tag on it has been removed from a GDI-equipped engine. What action should the technician take when reinstalling the fuel line? A. Use a good sealer on the fitting. B. Wrap the threads with Teflon tape. C. The line must be replaced. D. The line can be reused if it looks okay. End of chapter 83.